Grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. We walk with Jesus tonight to the Garden of Gethsemane. And we read again these words, "And they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And then Jesus said to him, 'Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish with the sword. Do you not think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the Scriptures be fulfilled, that it must be so?'" This is God's Word. Last Sunday, during the announcements, I asked if anyone knew what a goat rope was. And boy, you should have seen all the deer in the headlight looks that I got from that. Apparently, not many people know what a goat rope is. I've never really seen one. I've only ever heard about it before. It's a game of sorts, a game with a purpose. And I think it has its roots in the Old West, maybe even to this day, when boys or young men are learning to be cowboys. And they are learning the art of roping a moving animal. And instead of teaching them with horses or steers, they put the boys, and maybe girls too, into a pen full of goats, which are, of course, smaller and less dangerous for them. And they go at it. They try to rope these goats. It's called a goat rope. And the old-timers would gather around and watch and drink and hoop and holler, and they would be amused by the ensuing ruckus as the boys would try to rope these goats. And of course, as the goats are doing everything they can not to be roped, and it's a chaotic free-for-all, a ruckus and a disorder, a real Donnybrook, maybe the Brits would say. And so a goat rope is a confusing, disoriented, disorganized situation. And what does that have to do with Lent? Well, last week in our Lenten series, the places of the Passion, we walked with Jesus, a singing Jesus, to the slopes of the Mount of the Olives. And tonight, on that same slope, we now enter with him into a peaceful little garden on the slope there of the Mount of Olives called Gethsemane. It's a grove of olive trees, one of Jesus' favorite quiet places when he's at Jerusalem. But on this night, that peaceful little garden may as well be a pen full of boys with ropes trying to rope goats, because pandemonium is about to cut loose. But this isn't going to be funny, not at all. And while Christ was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. There aren't any Roman officials or soldiers involved in this yet. They don't come into the picture until Friday morning. So the crowds that gathered there at Gethsemane was a crowd of Jews sent from the chief priests and the elders, along with, apparently, with an armed contingent, an armed guard from the temple. And who is leading this Jewish posse with all of its firepower and its muscle? None other than Judas Iscariot, self-appointed bounty hunter. And what's he been up to? Betrayal. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we hear those words, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed. And this is the night. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I kiss is the man. Seize him." This Jewish posse wouldn't have recognized Jesus in the darkness of the moon shadows that were being cast by the olive trees, but with a kiss, his identity is revealed. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, "Greetings, Rabbi." And he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you came to do." Some friend. That's when the chaos commences. A veritable goat rope right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew a sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And from John's gospel, we learn that this was Peter trying to get a rope around this situation, who drew his sword, cut off the right ear of Malchus, the servant of the high priest. And that sparks a melee, a brouhaha, a Donnybrook of weapons being drawn, of people ducking for cover behind olive trees, yelling, confusion. It's hard to tell who's who in all of the darkness. It's hysteria. It is an eruption of anarchy at this place of peace. A garden goat rope. Now maybe you can relate. You don't have to be in a garden melee like that to learn how quickly life can become a goat rope. All it takes is being laid off or a recession or not getting into the college you wanted or a child going away to college or a disease or a divorce or a parent gets dementia, a relationship breakup, a death in the family. Those kinds of things. Things you can't control. And then you pile a few of those things on top of each other, and suddenly you are living a goat rope, a frenzy of events and crises and situations that you just can't lasso and get control of. Do you feel like, you know, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get? Has life got you running for cover, ducking behind the trees and keeping your head down? Got creditors in the IRS that are hounding you? Had to call an attorney? Tighten the budget? Seek counseling? Or a specialist? And you still can't seem to rope in your problems or lasso your worries and get things settled down. Well, don't give up. Don't ever give up. And you know why? Because in this crazy frenzy that we call life, someone is in control. Did you forget him? You might have easily forgotten him in all of the disarray of life. So take another look. There, in the middle of that Gethsemane garden goat rope, in complete control, is Jesus Christ. And how do we know that he and not Judas or this Jewish posse is in control? Listen to him. He says, "Peter, put your sword back into its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword." What need does Jesus have of a sword when he's already in total command of the situation? And so we also read in John's gospel, Jesus said there in the Garden of Gethsemane to this crowd, he said, "I am he." And the whole crowd just fell down at his word. He whose voice created the heavens and the earth, who commands the wind and the waves, can easily overpower this crowd with nothing more than a word. Jesus is in complete control. Why, he even predicted this would happen. And then he kept his appointment with Judas because it is his will that this should happen. It is by his design. He's in control. Jesus said, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Though the powers of darkness and sin arise against him and create all of this confusion around him, yet he is in control. "Do you think," he says, "I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so?" Jesus doesn't need 12 legions of angels, 70,000 plus angels. Because he's already got control of this. And he is calm. During World War II, psychologists compared the mental state of ground troops with fighter pilots after weeks of continuous combat, and found that almost all pilots, 93% of pilots, were, after all these weeks of combat, were still in good shape mentally and at peace and calm, while the ground troops were just mentally exhausted and stressed to the breaking point and had all kinds of psychological problems. And they postulated that the difference is that the pilots had control of what they were involved in, while the ground troops were in a situation they could not control, not knowing if at any minute a mortar might fall on them or a bullet might take them out. They felt out of control. And when you're not in control, that is stressful. Researchers have found the same phenomenon to be true on our highways. Did you know that a traffic jam triples your odds of having a heart attack? Because in stopped or slow traffic, we don't have any control of our situation anymore. We're stuck. We're helpless. And we get stressed. So the answer is what? Well, take control. Well, that's the message that gets pounded into us all of our lives. The only problem is, it just doesn't work. As much as you try to get a rope around your circumstances, all it takes is a moment, a death, an accident, a diagnosis, a storm, and suddenly you are reminded how little control you really have. So here's a better way. Rather than seek control, why not relinquish control? Give it up. Let it go. Resign as the CEO of the universe. And give this to Jesus. Because after all, even the wind and the waves obey him. Give it to the one who does have control, even in the turmoil. And the calm that Jesus exhibited in the Garden of Gethsemane will be contagious to you. Look how calm he is. How then should the scriptures be fulfilled that this must be so? The disciples fled because they had lost control and they were feared and afraid and stressed. But Jesus remains calm and steadfast because he knows that his Father has this under control and is directing the affairs of his life for a good purpose, for a very good purpose, for your salvation and mine and the salvation of this world. There's an old Peanuts comic strip where Lucy is struggling with a Sunday school memory verse. And she says, maybe it's from the book of reevaluations. The book of reevaluations. That's pretty good stuff. Because scripture is, if you will, a book of reevaluations. Among other things, it helps us to reevaluate so many things about our lives, but it also helps us to reevaluate who's in control in this turbulent life and world. The book of reevaluations teaches us that despite all appearances, sin is not in control of us, but Christ is in control of sin and forgives every one of them. The book of reevaluations teaches us that despite appearances, the devil is not in control of us, but Christ is in control of the devil and has crushed his head. The book of reevaluations teaches us that our trials and troubles are not in control of our lives, but Christ is in control of our troubles, and he bears them all to the cross and gives us always a way of escape. And so life, like that scene in the Garden of Gethsemane, life is not at all a garden goat rope, although that's what it may look like to your eyes. But faith sees it differently. Faith sees Christ in the middle of all the turbulence, calm, strong, and in charge. Oh yeah, He permits this darkness to rage for now, but so much in control is He that even the darkness must serve His good purposes for us. Even the devil, with all of his supposed might, is nothing but Christ's stooge, His puppet, who must ultimately bow before Him and serve His saving purpose for us. So the events of that Thursday night seemed like they were spiraling out of control. But it turns out that was not at all the case. Turns out this was all for good, for our salvation. It was by design. Just as all things must work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That's a promise to you. I know life can sometimes seem like a goat rope, but stay calm. Your Savior has got this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.